It's November the 13th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back. Here we are on that year-long journey. We hopped on the Bible bus in January. We're motoring our way. We've gone January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November the 13th. We are right there, right on schedule from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. You know, a few weeks ago, I was commenting on how much our son Josh has helped us. He had the vision for this in the beginning. I mentioned it, but he's the one who said, we've got to do it. And our son takes all the stuff that I do, the raw video, so to speak, and he's the one who cleans it up and fixes the different glitches and the audio and different things like that. And he's the one who uploads it to the different places on the internet. Somebody said this, God is so good and gracious. Thank your son for us. He does an amazing job. And I agree with that. And then this friend says, can't wait for peace in Jerusalem. God bless. Well, we are told in the Bible, specifically, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in these recent days and weeks with war in the Middle East, we ought to take that to heart. We ought to pray together and ask God. And we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for peace among all the nations of the Middle East. So now, we have come today to probably the best known part. I shouldn't say probably. I'm sure this is the best known part of the book of Ezekiel. This prophecy about a coming war between Israel and Gog and Magog. Let me remind you of the outline of the book. Three words: judgment, restoration, worship. Judgment, chapters 1 through 32. We've done that. Restoration, we got into that a little bit yesterday, chapters 33 through 39. And then we're going to close out with a section on worship, the coming worship by the nation of Israel in the future, 1,000-year millennium. That's chapters 40 through 48. So we're in this restoration section. Let me tell you what we're going to read today. Chapter 35 is a prophecy against the nation of Edom. Of course, Edom descended from Esau. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Way back in January, we read that. Jacob and Esau, Israel comes out of Jacob, and Edom comes out of Esau. And the interesting thing is in the Old Testament that the Jews and the people of Edom are closely related, and yet ultimately they end up in different places spiritually, and the Edomites are going to come under the judgment of God, because when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Israel, Edom did not come to Israel's defense. In fact, Edom joined in with Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babylon. So that's chapter 35. Then chapter 36, we're going to see this is the beginning of the story of the restoration of the nation. First, God promises to restore the physical nation of Israel. Then there is, in the second part of chapter 36, the spiritual restoration, the regeneration, the coming regeneration of the people of Israel. And then in chapter 37, very, very famous, them dry bones, the valley of dry bones, the restoration of the nation and the reunification of Israel and Judah in the last days. And finally, in chapter 38, we've got the beginning of the story of the invasion of Israel by these strange forces from the north called Gog and Magog. So we got a lot to look at today. Lord, as we read this incredible passage, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to take it, not just as something to speculate about prophetically, but Lord, show us who you are. Show us your truth from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 35. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, face Mount Seir, and prophesy against it. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Look, I am against you, Mount Seir. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolate waste. I will turn your cities into ruins, and you will become a desolation. Then you will know that I am the Lord, because you maintained a perpetual hatred and gave the Israelites over to the power of the sword in the time of their disaster, the time of final punishment. Therefore, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I will destine you for bloodshed, and it will pursue you. Since you did not hate bloodshed, it will pursue you. I will make Mount Seir a desolate waste, and will cut off from it those who come and go. I will fill its mountains with the slain. Those slain by the sword will fall on your hills, in your valleys, and in all your ravines. I will make you a perpetual desolation. Your cities will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Because you said, these two nations and two lands will be mine, and will possess them, though the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I will treat you according to the anger and jealousy you showed in your hatred of them. I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard all the blasphemies you uttered against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are desolate. They have been given to us to devour. You boasted against me with your mouth and spoke many words against me. I heard it myself. This is what the Lord God says. While the whole world rejoices, I will make you a desolation, just as you rejoiced over the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it became a desolation. I will deal the same way with you. You will become a desolation, Mount Seir, and so will all Edom in its entirety. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Edom was a relative of Israel. They should have come to her aid. But when they saw her being attacked and destroyed, they rejoiced. God saw it. God heard it. He will now bring on them what they rejoiced over when it happened to Israel. Be careful what you say. It can come back on your head. Ezekiel 36. Now, restoration. Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. Because the enemy has said about you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, this is what the Lord God says. Because they have made you desolate and have trampled you from every side, so that you became a possession for the rest of the nations and an object of people's gossip and slander. Therefore, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. This is what the Lord God says to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, to the desolate ruins and abandoned cities, which have become plunder and a mockery to the rest of the nations all around. This is what the Lord God says. Certainly, in my burning zeal, I speak against the rest of the nations and all of Edom, who took my land as their own possession with wholehearted rejoicing and utter contempt, so that its pasture land became plunder. Therefore, prophesy concerning Israel's land and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, this is what the Lord God says. I speak in my burning zeal because you have endured the insults of the nations. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. I swear that the nations all around you will endure their own insults. You, mountains of Israel, will produce your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, since their arrival is near. Look, I am on your side. I will turn towards you, and you will be tilled and sown. I will fill you with people, with the whole house of Israel in its entirety. The cities will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will fill you with people and animals, and they will increase and be fruitful. I will make you inhabited as you once were, and make you better off than you were before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk on you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance. You will no longer deprive them of their children. This is what the Lord God says, because some are saying to you, you devour people and deprive your nation of children. Therefore, you will no longer devour people and deprive your nation of children. This is the declaration of the Lord God. I will no longer allow the insults of the nations to be heard against you, and you will not have to endure the reproach of the peoples anymore. You will no longer cause your nation to stumble. This is the declaration of the Lord God. And I stop here to say, the first 15 verses of Ezekiel 36 are directed to the land. And God is saying, I'm going to restore the land, though it has been laid desolate by the Babylonians and other nations. There's coming a day, a great day of fruitfulness for the nation of Israel. But from the land now, we go to the people. This is what God will do for the people. Verse 16, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. While the house of Israel lived in their land, they defiled it with their conduct and actions. their behavior before me was like menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath on them because of the blood they had shed on the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered among the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and actions. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said about them, "These are the people of the Lord," yet they had to leave his land in exile. Then I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says, "It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord." This is the declaration of the Lord God when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will summon the grain and make it plentiful, and I will not bring famine on you. I will also make the fruit of the trees and the produce of the field plentiful, so that you will no longer experience reproach among the nations on account of famine. You will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and detestable practices. It is not for your sake that I will act. This is the declaration of the Lord. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and humiliated because of your ways, house of Israel. This is what the Lord God says. On the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of everyone who passes by. They will say, "This land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were once ruined, desolate, and demolished are now fortified and inhabited." Then the nations that remain around you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was demolished and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord God says. I will respond to the house of Israel and do this for them. I will multiply them in number like a flock, so the ruined cities will be filled with a flock of people, just as Jerusalem is filled with a flock of sheep for sacrifice during its appointed festivals. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Friends, this has not been fulfilled yet. This was not fulfilled in the work of Zerubbabel, good man though he was, and in the building of that little version of the temple that Zerubbabel built, wonderful as it was. This looks to a future day. This is yet to be fulfilled. Chapter 37, here we go. The valley of dry bones, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. Then he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I replied, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you and make flesh grow on you, cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, 'This is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, These bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord. Stop simply and observe. This is nothing done by the hand of man. This is a vision of the regathering of the nation of Israel and ultimately of their spiritual rebirth. This is the work of God. There's more. Verse 15, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, take a single stick and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick and write on it, belonging to Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him. Then join them together into a single stick, so that they become one in your hand. When your people ask you, won't you explain to us what you mean by these things? Tell them, this is what the Lord God says. I'm going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel associated with him, and put them together with the stick of Judah. I will make them into a single stick so that they become one in my hand. When the sticks you have written on are in your hand and in the full view of the people, tell them, this is what the Lord God says. I am going to take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all around and bring them into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will rule over all of them. They will no longer be two nations and will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will not defile themselves anymore with their idols, their abhorrent things, and all their transgressions. I will save them from all their apostasies by which they sinned, and I will cleanse them. Then they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and there will be one shepherd for all of them. They will follow my ordinances and keep my statutes and obey them. They will live in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your ancestors live. They will live in it forever with their children and grandchildren, and my servant David will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be a permanent covenant with them. I will establish and multiply them and will set my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. When my sanctuary is among them forever, the nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel. There is nothing in history from the time of Ezekiel to today that truly and completely fulfills this. Who is that one shepherd? It's Jesus. It's Jesus in his return. But there's more. Read on, chapter 38, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, face Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the Lord God says, look, I am against you, Gog, chief priest of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with all your army, including horses and riders who are all splendidly dressed, a huge assembly armed with large and small shields, all of them brandishing swords. Persia, Cush, and Put are with them, and all of them with shields and helmets, Gomer with all its troops, and Beth-Togarma from the remotest parts of the north with all its troops. Many people are with you. Be prepared and get yourself ready, you and your whole assembly that has been mobilized against you. You will be their guard. After a long time, you will be summoned. In the last years, you will enter a land that has been restored from war and regathered from many peoples to the mountains of Israel, which had long been a ruin. They were brought out from the peoples, and all of them now live securely. You and all your troops and many peoples with you will advance, coming like a thunderstorm. You will be like a cloud covering the land. This is what the Lord God says. On that day, thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. You will say, I will advance against a land of open villages. I will come against a tranquil people who are living securely, all of them living without walls and without bars or gates, in order to seize spoil and carry off plunder. Turn your hand against ruins now inhabited and against a people gathered from the nations who've been acquiring cattle and possessions and who live at the center of the world. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all its rulers will ask you, have you come to see spoil? Have you mobilized your assembly to carry off plunder, to make off with silver and gold, to take cattle and possessions, to seize plenty of spoil? Therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, this is what the Lord God says, on that day when my people Israel are dwelling securely, will you not know this and come from your place in the remotest parts of the north? You and many people with you, who are all riding horses, a huge assembly, a powerful army, you will advance against my people Israel like a cloud covering the land. It will happen in the last days, Gog, that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. This is what the Lord God says. Are you the one I spoke about in former times through my servants, the prophets of Israel, who for years prophesied in those times that I would bring you against them? Now, on that day, the day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, this is the declaration of the Lord God. My wrath will flare up. I swear in my zeal and fiery wrath, on that day, there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals of the field, every creature that crawls on the ground and every human being on the face of the earth will tremble before me. The mountains will be demolished. The cliffs will collapse and every wall will fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains. This is the declaration of the Lord God, and every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment on him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour out torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and burning sulfur on him, as well as his troops and the many peoples who are with him. I will display my greatness and holiness, and I will reveal myself in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. How many times have we come to that expression? I mean, it seems like every chapter in Ezekiel, God does what he does purposefully. God does what he does in the movement of men and nations. God does what he does through death, warfare, bloodshed, in order to display so that they will know and it will be totally clear, I am the Lord. You know, I just wonder, where are these people coming from, this Gog and Magog? From the north. And when is all this going to happen? Well, I'm just going back here, prophesy against him. Wow. In the last years, after a long time, you will be summoned. Verse 8, in the last years. What's Ezekiel seeing? He is seeing a vision, not of the return from Babylon under Zerubbabel, great as that was, not of anything in Malachi and Nehemiah's time. Nothing then could fulfill this. Nothing in the intertestamental period, the Maccabeans and all of that, and Antiochus Epiphanes, nothing like that. Nothing in the gospel age, nothing I dare to say in the 2,000 years since Jesus came and then went back to heaven. No, I think what Ezekiel sees, long time, he's looking ahead. God's given him a vision of something that's going to happen in the last days. In fact, all of this, I think, really, chapter 36 and 37 and 38 describe the blessing of the land yet to come, the regeneration of the nation of Israel yet to come, Valley of Dry Bones. That may partially have been fulfilled, partially to some degree, fulfilled in the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948, but the fullness of that, the spiritual, because you know, in chapter 37, it's not just that the dry bones come to life, but they are given spiritual life. That has not happened yet. And then all of this, and the two sticks, God's going to bring the Jewish people back to the land. Northern 10 tribes, the southern 2 tribes, they're going to be reunited in the land. They're going to live in peace. Then comes Gog and Magog. And we could talk a lot about this, but you know, the people who study this tell us that Turkey, Ukraine, the area of Russia around the Black Sea, Persia, of course, is Iran. Some of the other nations surrounding Israel, the Muslim nations surrounding Israel, there's going to be a great attack in the last days. Now, I'll just tell you this, and then I'll have to stop. I believe this describes what's going to happen in that seven-year tribulation period. I believe the attack is going to happen sometime during the first half of the tribulation, when first 3.5 years when Israel lives in relative peace before the Antichrist fully reveals himself. But I think the attack of Gog and Magog ultimately leads up to, and you're going to see this, what we're going to read tomorrow, leads up to the Battle of Armageddon, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And you wonder, I've been asked, events of the Middle East in these last few weeks, could it lead to it? I don't think what's happened so far is the fulfillment of this, but could it lead to it? Well, yes, we might be on the doorstep of the fulfillment of these ancient prophecies. Just understand, He's got the whole world in His hands. You and me, brother, in His hands. You and me, sister, in His hands. Little bitty babies in His hands. He's got Israel and the Jewish people in His hands. He's got all the nations in His hands. He's working out His plan. God knows what He's doing, and He's doing it. So with that, be confident. Be confident in God. Don't be worried. Don't read this and live in fear. And friends, don't spend your hours just looking at the news and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows. If we believe anything, we believe that God knows what He's doing. His purposes are coming to pass. We can trust Him. And in that confidence, friends, go out and have a great day. Come back tomorrow. You're just not going to believe what's going to happen at the end of this battle of God. There's going to be a great attack on Israel, and the bad guys are going to be shocked and disappointed and dismayed at the results. So come back tomorrow. We're going to do this again. God bless. See you then.